Welcome to Songcatcher right here on Radio Adelaide on Digital Online and 101.5 FM. I'm Claire here with Jen and the very humorous Adrian.
What?
What? Clayton.
What?
And Billy on the panel. And we have a guest.
Just as well, too, because we're all stuck for words. Now, tonight's guest is very well connected to the world of folk music, and folk music quite locally, but we'll have her on mixtape too after this show, because we're not going to let her get out of the studio, and you'll find that she's well connected to folk music across the world, because there's some great selections coming up there as well.
So, stick around.
There you go. That's what he tells all the flies at home when he puts up that fly stuff too.
Yeah, on the mic.
Now, Adrian Lovelock, welcome along.
Oh, it's good to be back here again. Hi.
Welcome.
Almost a regular.
Oh, well, yes, once a year. That's regular.
It's about as often as I turn up, I think.
No.
Anyway, Adrian was the former chair of the SA Folk Federation 2013 to 2015. And she's got a new CD out. Every Road Leads Somewhere.
Very exciting.
It's been quite a long journey to get this far. I have to say I'm delighted that the journey is, well, this stage of the journey is now over, and I've actually got the CD here in our hot little hands.
Because I reckon when you were on the program last, which was about 15 months ago or possibly more, the CD was about to happen then.
Well, yes, it's had a few stop starts. It's been quite a long time. It's I've lost track of exactly how long it was.
And how many birds have been watched in between that time and photographed?
Well, that's one of the things, you see. My partner Peter and I keep disappearing overseas to go bird watching. And, you know, you've got to keep doing that stuff while you're still young enough to climb up and down mountains and things like that. And that put a few gaps into the CD project. There were other reasons for a few gaps in the CD project, but people not being available was one of them, I suppose.
Well, shall we hear a little bit about this CD, where it was recorded and who's on it and stuff like that?
Well, it's a collection of local folk people from around Adelaide, I suppose. So there was a core group of three people that really made this happen. My partner Peter Day plays the guitar on the CD, but he also became the technical assistant, dog's body kind of holder together of everything while it was happening. And the album was recorded and mixed and mastered by our friend Ray Thomas. Ray is a bloke who has got a lot of experience around Adelaide as a sound recordist and a sound engineer. And it was great to have him on board, because at least one of us knew what we were doing. You know, he brought all of that experience and know-how along with him. I didn't have a clue. I knew that I wanted to get this selection of songs recorded. I wanted to record them in a way that perhaps brought out some of the extra layers in what the song might be. But how that was going to happen, I had not got the first clue. So it was really important to have someone on board who could start to guide us through that process. And then we brought other friends on board, people who played other instruments. And in some cases, friends of friends were leaned upon to also join in and do this particular track or that particular track. So we had a lot of generous people who came on board and gave their musical expertise and their musical imagination too.
And this is your first CD?
Oh, yes, it is. It's the first time I've ever tried to do this.
So you've been around in terms of going to folk clubs and all the rest of it for quite a long time, and singing lots of songs and no doubt writing lots of songs along the way. How did you go about choosing the songs for this particular album?
I had about a dozen and a half songs that I thought were good enough to start working on. And so we started workshopping those songs with the people that came on board as our musicians, and looking at which ones we could work up an arrangement for. All the arrangements were improvised in the first instance. People tell me that's not always the way it goes, but it's the only way I knew to arrange things, is to to jam with other people, to see what comes out of it, and then to settle on things that look like they've got potential and work on those and to shape a reasonable kind of arrangement out of that. So we did that, and through that process we cut down the long list of songs to a shorter list, and the criterion really was, will it work? Can we make it work as a collaborative musical effort? We ended up with a dozen songs at the end of the process.
Well, a dozen songs, and from a short list of a dozen and a half to a dozen to about half a dozen, because unfortunately we're not going to get a chance to play all of them tonight. We're going to start with, I think this is the first track.
It's the first track. It's the first track, and it's kind of the title track, because the name of the album is Every Road Leads Somewhere, which is pinched from a line in this song. This one's called The Road to Nowhere.
The road to nowhere is paved with lies. I wouldn't have listened if I'd been wise. Instead, I believed all your alibis. This road is paved with lies. I travel the world looking for something good. Every thief I meet, I think he's Robin Hood. Just wind up again in a bad neighborhood when I'm looking for something good. Every road leads somewhere. Travel long enough and you will find the end. Every road leads somewhere. Seems like this road I'm on don't have no end. Spend all my time trying to find a friend. There must be good times just around the bend. This road don't have no end. I travel in the dark when the sun has set. I wish I had some better things to regret. The best and the worst ain't happened yet, but it's dark when the sun has set. Every road leads somewhere. Travel long enough and you will find the end. Every road leads somewhere. Life is a river, life is a road, life is a journey dragging a heavy load. I wish I'd read the highway code before I set off. Hold on to redemption, hold on to hope. When you find yourself on a slippery slope, when your lifeline turns into a hangman's rope, hold on, hold on.
Adrian Lovelock there, The Road to Nowhere from the CD Every Road Leads Somewhere.
Congratulations again. And so what's your motivation to make this CD?
Well, I had a bunch of songs and I thought I'd like a few more people to hear them. So the logical thing seemed to be to get them recorded so that I could get them out a little bit more widely.
So for these songs, are you just all written after you stop working full-time? Or
I've always written a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And in earlier days, a lot of that was, you know, silly, jokey songs about things that were happening in the headlines in the paper or whatnot. But, yeah, when I stopped working full-time,
yep,
and I had a bit more time on my hands to play the guitar and try and get some ideas together, I put a lot more of that time into writing songs. And a lot of what's on this CD
mm-hmm.
came from that period where I had more time
okay.
and was able to put a bit more energy into it.
Yeah. So what has influenced you on composing these songs?
Oh, I don't know, really. It's just something you do, really, when mm-hmm. you play a lot of music. And
yeah.
I go to a lot of folk clubs and jam sessions and that kind of thing, and people are always swapping ideas and developing uh-huh. new arrangements of old stuff. And I started to think, well, I can write a few of these. And
nice.
I tried, and mm-hmm. lo and behold, I managed to come up with a few things that people could bear to listen to.
Now, that track we just heard, The Road to Nowhere, you know, on first listening, it just sort of sounds like a very kind of modern day kind mm-hmm. of folk song and just grooves along a little mm-hmm. bit. But you've noted that it also, there's a tradition of riddling in traditional English song and medieval writing. So there's another layer to what you're actually That's trying right. to do there.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I was trying to do two things. The first thing was I had a four chord sequence
mm-hmm.
that I was just noodling with in the back room at home one day, and I thought, how would you go trying to write a song where you had a more interesting tune but laid on top of just this very, very simple sequence that goes all the way through it? And it's kind of a nonsense song on one level, doing this riddling thing where you come up with an idea that might mean one thing or it might mean another thing. And I just played with a few random ideas.
So that's quite a traditional thing to try and play with different meanings.
It is. It is. A lot of the old, the very old traditional ballads from England, Scotland, Ireland, have verses in them where, you know, for an example, where a young innocent child goes out on the road and he meets the devil, and the devil poses questions to him, and if you can answer these questions properly, then you can go home tonight. And if you can't,
it sounds like a Monty Python film.
Very much like a Monty Python film, except in the old songs, the innocence always overcomes the evil, and so the child will come up with the right answer,
mm-hmm.
And so the riddling doesn't confuse the innocent person. I wouldn't like to say that the riddling in my song would or would not confuse an innocent person. I don't think I know too many of them.
Let's ask Clayton.
You're an innocent person, Clayton.
Why are you confused?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is it a bit like Schrodinger's cat? You never look.
Well, it probably doesn't pay to look.
Mm. Mm. Okay, so there you go. If you've got a cat in a box,
let it out. Just let it out.
But if it's an imaginary cat, that's different.
Let it out.
It's imaginary and it's real at the same time.
Exactly.
Mm. Mm. So the idea of taking something that's traditional in terms of the British traditions...
Mm.
and giving them a modern spin in Australia,
mm.
that's something that grabs you? Is it something that you do often? You say, oh, well, I'm going to take this kind of idea, mm. which has come from, you know, the folkies from here,
mm.
and I'm going to do something like that, but I'm going to refresh it and make it for me?
It's probably not as deliberate and conscious as that, but that's what I'm doing a lot of the time. Because... Well, I suppose starting to go to folk clubs back in the late 1970s when, you know, you could hardly get into a pub where there was a folk club on. It was standing room only, and there were, you know, a lot of people were doing this sort of thing.
So
a lot of people were still playing the traditional music, you know, bands like Steel Eyes Span and Fairport Convention and, you know, all these mobs were very popular. And in those early days of my misspent youth, I got a pretty solid grounding in traditional music, for which I am eternally grateful, because I think it's a really great basis on which to write and to play and to interpret modern music. I think that you know, the roots that you find back there in the traditional music nourish what we try to do today. And it sort of comes up almost unconsciously, because it's the way I learned to do things.
So would be the advice you give it to people who are interested in music, just go to maybe learn or listen to more traditional music first as a solid foundation?
I think my first advice to people would be go and play and sing with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's music can be a solitary thing that you do on your own with the bedroom door shut, but but the best thing with music is playing with other people. And, you know, if you want to improve the way that you play, you know, if you want to get to be a better guitarist or a better fiddler or whatever it is that you play, go and play with other people. And if you want to if you want to nurture your songwriting, I think getting out and hearing what other people are doing, listening to other writers, listening to the widest possible range of material across all sorts of genres, the more you can get in, the better it is. You know, if you're going to grow a decent garden, you can't just put one thing on the soil. It's no good just putting water on it. Might be the best water that you can find, but it needs other stuff as well.
Oh, you just have mud?
Yeah. But, music is a sociable thing. It's it's a way of having conversation. It's a social glue. It's a social exchange. And I think that to be a better musician, to be a better writer, the best thing anyone can do is go out and play with other people.
So is it the way you learn your instruments? So how did you learn your instruments?
Having said all of that, I learned as a 15-year-old kid. I bought this terrible cheese grater of a guitar. It was $12 at Harris Scarfe's. And I think I was 15. I bought this thing and I also bought the Mel Bay Chords book. I'm sure everybody of my vintage has got one of those. And I taught myself 6 or 8 chords.
Wow.
And that's all right. I can play a few songs now. And years.
You only need 3, surely.
Well, really, you do. And, you know, I haven't really bothered to learn too many other chords in the years since. But getting out and playing with other people, once I could play a few things and I got out and played socially with friends and then later on started going to folk clubs when I was a student and whatnot, that's really the best way to learn.
Thank you for your advice. So the reason, why do you want to go to the folk club? I guess, we are kind of running a little bit out of time, so I guess we will listen to your next song.
Well, this one's very interesting because you are writing in a traditional sense, but you're a history buff.
Oh, yeah. I love history.
So this next song has a historical context.
Well, it has its basis back in 1593.
It certainly does, yes.
I don't think I was around then.
Thank goodness.
So you're obviously not mentioned in this one, Clayton.
No, this is not quite a murder story. It's a conspiracy story of a faked murder.
So again, it's the old tradition, and you've tried to update it, or is this a very traditional style of song?
The song that we're going to listen to is called Fraser. It's the story about Christopher Marlowe, the poet and playwright. I thought he was a fantastic writer when I first came across him. You know, as a student, I'd read a lot of Shakespeare's plays when I was at school, and then went on to tertiary education, and suddenly I had to read Christopher Marlowe. I thought, God, this bloke is really political and sarcastic and very incisive kind of stuff. So, you know, Christopher Marlowe's been inside my head for years. He was killed at a very young age, when he was 29. This is the publishable official version, is that when he was 29, he was killed in a pub brawl. An argument broke out with some other people about who paid the bill, and in the fight, he got a knife stuck in the eye and he died. However, there is a school of thought that he didn't die, that his murder was staged.
Well, and just to avoid paying the bill?
No, because he was a spy.
Ah.
He worked for Sir Francis Walsingham, who was the Queen's spy master, Elizabeth I's Secret Service. And the conspiracy theory is that because he was about to be arrested for heresy, they wanted him out of the place, and so they faked his murder and they put him on a boat and sent him to Europe. Now, I don't know, but I thought, wouldn't it be good to play around with that story and write a song about it? But you can't write a song that tells a story that is just a bunch of he did this and then he did that and then the other fella did this and then he did that and it all happened on this day. That would be very dull. You have to have a point of view. You have to have a reason to care one way or the other about what's going on, I think. And so I thought, well, let's get the murderer to tell the story. So this story is told from the point of view of the fellow who confessed to killing him and in this song actually didn't.
Riser, you've never seen me before. I'm the footsteps in the alleyway, I'm the shadow behind the door. I'm the one they call for when they need the expert touch. I'm the one who fixes things when somebody knows too much. The news is cried in London town, Kit Marley died last night. In Deptford Strand by the riverside, killed in an alehouse fight. He lived his life on wit and words, a man who knew no fear. The greatest playwright of our age, his fame grew year by year. For his pen could conjure demons and show us the folly of kings. His words rang like thunder and soared on burning wings. His stories filled the theatres, he had the master's touch. But secrets and shadows followed him, he was a man who knew too much. Whispers in dark places, conspiracies and schemes. He knew how dear the peace is bought in the service of the Queen. In France and in the lowlands, he played the deadly game. The danger to those who paid him was he could give every shadow a name. To the jury, upon my oath I claimed I killed a man in self-defense. The coroner signed his name, but nobody watched at Deptford docks as a foreign ship set sail. A traveller with ink stains on his hands, standing at the rail. And the man who lies in the unmarked grave to take the traveller's place was a body begged from the hangman. Nobody knew his face. A knife in the eye of a dead man's corpse, unbalanced justice scales. When it's time to pay the reckoning, tell no tales. But I haven't told you any of this, you haven't heard a thing. The poet died in a tavern fight, his secrets died with him. And you'll never see me again after I've closed that door. And if anyone asks you who that was, you've never seen me before. And if anyone asks you who that was, you've never seen me before.
And if you're interested in joining us here at Radio Adelaide, what a good idea.
Or if you just want to learn more about the media, I think it's a really useful thing.
Oh, it's very,
or
very
maybe you're from somewhere else and you think a community radio thing would be a good thing to do, well, come and learn more about it.
Because it is a good thing to do.
Indeed. It's a lot of fun. You muck around with up to about 10 or so other people and you have fun and you learn stuff.
Mm.
What more could you want in life?
Learning stuff.
Well, yeah. Oh, learning stuff, it sounds like a four-letter word, but no, it's got more letters than that.
It's got more letters. Never be afraid to learn something new. It's a really good thing to do.
But speaking about learning something new, Chen had a question about that.
Yeah. So, because before Adrian said you have learned guitar, so I'm just wondering, did you know how to play other instruments as well?
I had 1 year's tuition on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of fun, but I didn't really have an affinity with keyboards.
Yeah.
But I also play the Appalachian dulcimer.
It's very, I think, very unique, unusual instrument. So how did you learn it and why did you want to learn that one?
Well, I first saw one at a friend's house.
Yep.
He had one there and I heard him playing it. I thought, what a gorgeous sound that was. Mm. It was just beautiful.
Yeah.
Never heard anything quite like it. And he said, oh, it's a very simple thing to play. So I got a dulcimer and I learned how to play it. I learned from other people.
Ah. You know,
different friends showed me how to tune it,
yeah,
how to play certain tunes on it.
Mm.
We played around with it and, you know, jammed together, somebody playing things on a guitar and playing the dulcimer along with it. And, of course, I was very much into traditional songs at the time, old ballads and so forth, and the dulcimer is great to play while you're singing that kind of traditional music.
Yeah.
The Appalachian dulcimer comes from the Appalachian Mountains in America.
Okay.
It's a very simplified version of a zither, kind of stringed instrument you might find in Northern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
They're traditionally three or four stringed instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And they rely on how you tune them. And they're always in tune with themselves. You just cannot play a bum note on one.
Oh.
Try as you might, you cannot.
Oh, there's a challenge. I'm sure I could succeed at that.
You can play a wrong note. You can play a note that's not supposed to be in the tune that you're playing, but it won't be discordant. So they're very kind instruments to learn to play. A lot of fun. So I played the dulcimer as my main instrument for years and years and years.
Wow.
Don't play it so much these days.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a soft, gentle sound as well.
They were domestic instruments. They weren't designed for bands. They were designed for people to play in their own homes. So they were quiet. And they encourage quiet singing.
Okay. So how do you compare these dulcimer with guitar?
How do you compare an apple with an orange?
So it's very hard. I think it depends on different, like, musical style and you want to sing.
I liked the dulcimer as a backing for traditional ballads. I'm talking about the kind of song which is very long, a long story song, often with a very simple tune.
Yes.
And the quiet humming quality of a dulcimer worked very well behind a single voice to do that storytelling in song. You know, people who are cleverer than me can play dance tunes, jigs and reels, all sorts of great stuff on dulcimers.
Yeah.
I never went down that path because mm-hmm. I was principally interested in it to help out on singing.
Okay.
And, I still have a couple of dulcimers lying around at home, and
lovely.
Occasionally I get them out and play around with them.
So and did you use that instrument in your track, in your CD?
No, I didn't. In fact, I don't play at all on the CD. I got other people to do the instrumental stuff, and I just did the singing.
So why is it like that? Is it because you are more confident in singing, or...?
I'm not really very good. Oh. That's the reason why. My guitar playing, for example, is very basic. And, you know, I'm fine in a jam session or, you know, I'm quite happy to play in a concert, play live in front of people. But I wanted something a bit more, a bit less rough and ready perhaps than my very plain, straightforward style. Mm. And so I decided that I would step back and get a couple of other people who are better guitarists than me to do the guitar work, and then to bring in other instruments which I certainly can't play. And I thought that it was an opportunity to see how these songs that I'd written could be developed into something beyond what they'd ever been playing them just down at the folk club on a Friday night.
Of course, when you happen to cohabit with a guitar player
yes.
and you're recording, it is very important to include said guitar player. Otherwise...
Well, yes, Peter would have been very disappointed if I hadn't asked him to play the guitar on the thing. But, of course, you know, he knew all of the songs and he really is good. So I was eternally grateful that Peter Day said yes, he was going to play on this thing. We also got Mike O'Callaghan, who's a guy on the local scene. I think he's been in on Songcatcher a few months ago. And he also agreed to play guitar. So some of the tracks have got two guitars doing different things, or on a couple of them we've got a baritone guitar and an ordinary six string.
Well, I think it's time for some more music. We've got next up, well, actually you can announce the next song if you like.
Well, we've been talking about traditional songs, so this one is deliberately written in a traditional style. This is called the Brown Girl Song. And for those of you who know the traditional ballad Lord Thomas and Fair Ellender, this is a prequel. This is what the brown girl, the woman that Lord Thomas married in that traditional ballad, was thinking about the night before her wedding, because she knew that he didn't love her.
He'll promise to be true, but
And that was Adrienne Lovelock with the Brown Girls song. And you wanted to just mention something about the Fleurieu Folk Festival coming up because of somebody who liked that song.
That's right, yeah. In the break I mentioned that Judith Crosley, the late Judith Crosley, that was a good friend to a lot of us, really liked the Brown Girls song, which was that I was over the moon. That it was high praise from Judith that she liked that. There, at the Fleurieu Folk Festival, there is a songwriting competition, which is the Judith Crosley Memorial Award, and they give that each year for a new original song about South Australia or a South Australian story. And you should hop on the Fleurieu Folk Festival's website and have a look about that, because I think they're about to open the time for entries. And so, you know, people that are out there writing South Australian songs ought to get into it. I think that that competition does really important work. It's important that we write songs about who we are, where we live, what our life here is about.
And while we're talking song competitions, you might like to mention the Foom, Scala Foom Festival at the moment.
Oh, yes, that's about to start. The first heat of Foom Live starts on
this Thursday,
coming. And then it's, what is it, 6 weeks?
Five, I think.
Five heats.
Five heats.
And then the finals night. Mm. I went to every one of the Foom Live nights last year, and it was wonderful. It was like going to a very slow festival, you know, one a week. It was great. You get 100-something songs, all original new work, and some of them are crackers. Really good.
So if you've got one, it's time to put it in for the competition, because we're still open for entries.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, we better jump into the Talk About song, as Clayton so lovingly calls it. And this week you've picked a track called The Inland Sea.
Mm, yeah.
What would you like to tell us about this song?
This song is about one of the early explorers in white Australian history, Captain Charles Sturt. And Sturt's known for a long trip that he did down the Darling and Murray Rivers very early on in the days of settlement. But he also made an epic exploratory journey into the centre of Australia in 1844. And that journey started from Adelaide. Back in those days, it was widely believed that there was an inland sea. There had to be an inland sea in the middle of Australia because, well, Australia was just too big. They figured not to have one. It couldn't just be full of desert. Little did they know. And people pointed to things like there were rivers that flowed towards the middle of the country, and you could see water birds flying towards the centre of the country. There must be water that they were going for. So Sturt and co. set out on a very well-equipped expedition. They took lots of food, lots of animals that would provide food later on, and they took a whale boat with them, a 12-man rowing boat, which they were going to put onto the water when they got to the inland sea, and they would explore its coastline. Mm. They made their way up to roughly the area where South Australia, Queensland and New South Wales meet. Mm. And by that stage, it was summer. The conditions were deep drought. Mm-hmm. The water holes were shrinking. Mm. And they got bogged down. They had to take shelter in a place where there was water, and they couldn't move forward or return because they couldn't guarantee finding water to sustain them. They just had to wait it out. The conditions were shocking. I've read Sturt's diaries of the time, and it was so hot, he said, that their hair stopped growing. The lead dropped out of their pencils. No jokes made, please.
Well, and my hair stopped growing and it's very cold here.
And I mean, the conditions were just shocking that they endured. And eventually they found enough water that they could start making their way back to Adelaide. They'd been gone for about 2 years when they got back here. And when they came back, they left the boat behind on a creek near where Tibberborough is in the far northwest of New South Wales today. And I spent a little bit of time on a bird watching trip in Tibooburra a couple of years ago. And I got up very early before the rest of the group one day. And if you've been on a bird watching trip, you will know that getting up early before the rest of the group is early.
It's real early.
Really early.
Early bird.
Midnight or so.
And I took a little walk down to the park in Tibooburra where an artist had created a full-size replica of Sturt's whale boat. It's made of copper. And as the sun was starting to come up, it glowed. It was just the most ethereally beautiful thing. And I sat there communing with the spirit of Sturt and all that sort of thing. Anyway, this story is one that has been with me for very, very many years since I first heard it as a child in primary school. And I really wanted to write a story that write that story into a song. And Inland Sea is the song that resulted. We put this together using baritone guitar to get very deep resonant sounds. And we brought in a shakuhachi player and a bansuri player.
All the way from Japan?
No, he's a local guy. David Kotlowe, he works out of Adelaide, but he plays these traditional Japanese instruments. Mm-hmm. The shakuhachi has a really dry, breathy, woody sound. It's a raw, primal kind of a sound, and I can just hear the desert wind mm-hmm. in the sound of that instrument. I think that the two wind instruments, the bansuri yep. and the shakuhachi, mm-hmm. really make this track, along with the deep sounds of the baritone guitar, and we had a bowed bass too. Mm. So there's a lot of harshness and space mm-hmm. that I want people to hear in the way we've treated this song.
So did you know these two instruments before?
We started out building up layers
yep.
of instruments for this track. We began with the baritone guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Our bass player, Joe Menga, listened to this and she said, well, we ought to try bowed bass to get not the rhythmic thump, thump, thump that you get with the more upbeat tracks, but yeah. something that brings out the strained, dry sound of the desert. Luckily, she is also a desert freak like me. She likes desert landscapes.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to get the sound of the desert wind, of the space, the utter emptiness that there is. When you go and stand out in the area where Sturt and his men were holed up for a long, long time, months and months, it's flat, it's open, the horizon just goes on forever. And we wanted to create that kind of sound with instruments. And And Ray Thomas, our sound engineer, who's very well connected in the world of classical music and chamber music, said, I know a couple of blokes.
Ah.
Let's invite these fellows around and we'll play them the song mm-hmm. and see what they make of it. And I think they really made this track.
So, again, it's a collaborative art project.
That's right, yeah, yeah. Okay. People tell me this isn't the way that people arrange stuff normally, but I didn't know any other way to do it because mm-hmm. that's the way you do it mm-hmm. informally at folk clubs.
Okay.
Well, it's here in Land Sea.
See the water stirring in my dreams. I can hear the breakers wash upon the sand. The birds are flying northward toward the inland sea, to better country, to fertile land. And we'll follow where the wild birds fly, where the westbound rivers flow. where thunderclouds build above the broad inland sea, to the waters where the wild birds go. And the boat we carried with us for 1,000 dusty miles, we'll launch it on the inland sea. Red rock hills and red soil plains, red clay cracks and thirsts for rain. Water holes are shrinking and all the creeks are dry. Thunder rolls in the far off sky. The summer shriveled into drought. The heat withered the air. The scurvy took us prisoner. Hunger held us in its jaws, with the desert closing in all about. And the boat we carried with us for 1,000 dusty miles lies far from the inland sea. Some dreams take your reason, some dreams blind your eyes, some dreams are delusions that reason denies. Some rivers fade into the sand. Our scouts found water down the track. Drays were put in order to make the long way back. We left the boat behind us on the drying rocky stream, our hopes beside it, our empty dreams. And the boat lies where we left it, on the parched and rocky land, still dreaming of the inland sea.
Another great program on Radio Adelaide. And just before then, we heard the fantastic song, Inland Sea. What a story.
And the Japanese shakuhachis seem to work quite well for the desert blues. Now, we've run out of time. Adrienne, where can people find this CD?
They have to find me to find this CD. Hop onto to your browser and look for Adrienne Lovelock songwriter.com, and you'll be able to email me and... I will post you a copy of the CD, or we can arrange where you can actually find me in person.
Well, come down to Scala's firm competition and we'll point her out.
Yes, I'll be there.
She won't be able to escape.
CDs in hand.
With CDs in my handbag, yes.
And I believe some money goes from the purchase of said CDs to the Hutt Street Centre, so well worthwhile.
Absolutely, yes. We're supporting Hutt Street Centre through this.
Okay. Any other announcements, folks? Because we've got to love and leave you.
Well, we know about Foom, so that's fantastic. We're doing well.
I think we might leave it at that. Thank you, Adrienne.
Thank you, Adrienne, and we'll see you on Mixtape.
The other side of 10 o'clock.
Well, close up the door and by the cold outside. It's winter time. Close up the door and keep out the cold outside. It's winter time. Coffee in the kettle, soup in the pot. Turn up the stove and keep it hot. Close up the door and keep out the cold outside. It's winter time. I got a patchwork quilt and an old guitar and a man to keep me warm. I got a patchwork quilt and an old guitar and a man to keep me warm. Wind in the chimney, rain on the tin, set by the fire with a bottle of gin. I got a patchwork quilt and an old guitar and a man to keep me warm. Time to sweep the floor, I've got better things to do. Well, I got no time to sweep the floor, I got better things to do. A woman's work is never done when she knows how to keep her man on the run. I got no time to sweep the floor, I got better things to do. Rock me all night, honey, bless my soul. The wind blows cold.